Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Get your tickets punched right here for a ride on that outdoor crazy train with Dan Bush and Tom Neubauer. It is the second hour of power on the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. We are the only two-hour live outdoor show in Wisconsin.
Yeah, das ist richtig.
Yeah, and maybe even in the country. Who knows? Yeah, whatever he said.
No, that was fun.
Yeah. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the show and that. And Danny, speaking about measurements of fish, remember how you were saying how the cold constricted ones? Well, I don't know if our audience knows this or not, but I learned this from in fishing bass tournaments.
Flip it.
A bass, that's boom, right, boom, will boom, weigh.
Flip it real
excuse
good.
Excuse me. A Sorry. Bass will measure differently from one side to the other.
Yep.
So you got to flip. There could be an eighth of an inch difference, and if you're that eighth of an inch off, that might make a difference. So you got to flip that fish to make sure. Now, I don't know if that's true for other fish. I never did
Muskies,
that.
Muskies, yes.
I never had to do that with other ones.
I think
ones,
I saw our friend Pete Mena do that one.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah.
But basically,
muskies too.
Bass,
I wish I'd
definitely.
Known that too when I was, you know, in the big muskie tournament days. I'd flip it and decide which side is the longest. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, different measures, because, you know, the DNR says you got to have the mouth closed, tail pinched. So, mouth, I see a lot of guys when they measure. Like bass, they don't close the mouth. They leave the mouth open, and that gives you extra length. But if a DNR guy is going to measure it, that mouth is going to be closed, and the tail will be pinched.
Yeah, they're going to duct tape it closed like an alligator. I don't know if they'll be that fussy.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you, a warden friend of the family, actually a relative of one of my sons, he almost got somebody for an undersized pike. A couple weeks ago, almost got him. But before he got out there, because somebody called the DNR tip line and said, hey, these guys got an undersized pike on the ice. And before he got out there, they shoved it back down the hole. So
those bandits.
Yeah. And it was dead. It was frozen.
So, why are we worrying about undersized pike on some little small lake here when you can keep any size pike you want on the Bay of Green Bay?
And in northern Wisconsin, for that matter, you know, north of, what is it, Highway 10? Everything up there?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, any size.
No.
It's just down south where it's
got
to
no,
be
20. No, they got regulations up
no,
there.
No, no.
Yes, they do.
No, on maybe a few lakes and that, but
I know
generally.
The St. Louis River up there has some regulations.
Yeah, well that's some lakes, Mike, but basically like, south of Highway 10, it's 26 inches, two fish.
Right.
But there are lakes that have a different size limit. Okay.
Yeah, different lakes, yeah.
But north of Highway 10, it's five northern pike, any size. No
on
size
all those
limit.
Lakes?
Yes, yes.
You're Hornswoggling
no,
me.
That's no
yeah,
Hornswoggle.
No, I got to get the regulations.
No, that's no Hornswoggle.
799-1250. One of our listeners, yeah. call in and agree with me, Dan Bush. Like to be right.
Yeah. Or, oh, somebody's calling already.
Well, lines
see,
are right. They're calling about
they're,
something
they're
else.
Gonna, yeah, probably.
Could be her up north connection. Maybe we get a call. You know, that you got some great things going on this weekend after you're done listening to us. You can go out, do the walleye fishery. I mean, the walleye for tomorrow, Pewaukee chapter at waterfront. Or go up to that muskie show. Great time.
Yeah,
or better yet, do the walleye thing today and do the muskie thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot going on a cold day that you can get on out. And I know it's going to be a fabulous muskie show this year.
Are we sure of the date on the muskie show this week?
Yeah, it's going on right now.
Okay.
Today, well, not right now. I think they open at 9 or 9 o'clock today. But I guess we got a few phone callers. Okay, who do we got first?
Up first, we got Ken giving us a call from Greendale.
Okay. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a quick regulation question, if I could.
Yeah.
I know that generally the opener, the fishing opener is like the first Saturday in May or something like that.
Correct.
I believe, aren't there rivers open year-round?
Yes.
Okay, so every river, right?
Except for muskies.
Except for muskies. Okay.
As a general rule, I wouldn't say every river everywhere. Some do have, like the Fox River up in Green Bay.
Yeah.
They've got walleye regulations. But as a general rule,
river systems
stay open, like the Mississippi River and the Wisconsin
the
River.
Rock River.
Yeah, some of those Now, you can always, panfish are always open. We're talking about walleyes, bass, muskie, game fish.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I looked in the regulations probably a half hour trying to find this in the regulations, and I'm sure it's in there someplace, but boy, there's so many regulations, it's hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
And then they list them by counties, too, sometimes, the bodies of water and stuff.
But the rivers are in there. But, yeah, you're okay except for muskies.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, I appreciate it.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye
now. Take care. Thanks for listening. I think one of the things to do is call one of your local bait shops and like that are right there by the body of water.
Yeah,
and those
know.
Should be the guys that really know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Because I know, for years, I'd go up in spring up to the Fox River up by Green Bay or the Rock River over here by Fort Atkinson area. By the way, I guess Koshkonong is doing pretty good. Walleyes, I heard, are starting to stage at the mouth of the Fox River and Koshkonong where they meet, there.
Really?
The big walleyes are starting to stage, getting ready because guys are fishing there for them and catching some nice ones.
Open water? Or
no, it's
ice fishing.
Ice fishing, but
our friend Ben Heisner is the one who secretly gets those fish out on Koshkonong.
But you better know where you're going because the guy I was talking to says...
Or you could be gone.
Yeah, you don't want to walk in certain areas. There's only like an inch or two of ice, but 50 yards away, you'll have 12 inches.
Know where you're going before you're gone.
That's right. We ought to make a bumper sticker like that.
Yeah.
Before you're
Ice gone. Safety Week.
Yeah. I think they have something like that, don't they?
No, we could invent it, Tom.
We could?
Yeah. We'll
can we make money off of this?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe we have like a booth and we give out little ice picks for people to
sell them.
Yeah.
We can sell them.
The safety, safety packets. And then we got like a... we make community service announcements and
we can sell those too.
We go to elementary schools and talk to kids.
I don't want to talk to the kids. They don't listen. they don't listen.
We got our ice safety thing, by the way. But, you got to pay us $1,000 for our seminar to come in and talk about ice safety.
But the reason being is that you got that flowing water there, of course. And at that mouth of the river in the Koshkonong, you got flowing water. So that's why, one area might have very little ice and another area has a whole bunch of ice. So you got to be careful if you're going out there. And Koshkonong is one of those areas that's tough to fish anyway. Open water, ice fishing, it doesn't matter. It's tough because it's a big area and it's all like 5 feet deep.
Yeah. the other thing the guy has to watch out right now are... A caller mentioned that they got the sporting clays closed at Waukesha due to the ice.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, Tom. It was treacherous last weekend out in the field. Now, I went pheasant shooting with our good friend Al Shook and my buddy Mike Scalander and the world-famous dog Lab Summer. And we were all kind of slipping. Now, Al wore his cleats. He had some cleats. I told you I bought some nice HT kind of cleats this year. Mm-hmm. I got them on one big pair of lacrosse Iceman boots, and I'm just using those for my ice fishing now. That way, I don't have to take those cleats on and off. They're on there for life. But yeah, they're heavier boots, so I didn't wear them. I had them in the truck, and I didn't wear them. I was okay. When I should have worn them was on Sunday when I went with Mike to try and do the coyote hunting, which is a whole nother story I was going to tell you about.
Yeah.
So we went out there by Pewaukee, and it was treacherous. I mean, walking down one hill, I just had to hold. It was like I was skiing down the hill trying to keep my balance.
Really?
And I did go down once and fell on my good shoulder anyway. That's now as bad as the other one. But it was wicked. I should have been wearing the cleats. But we got set up right before dark, and I got this. I got the call. I got that Power Dog, Primos, whatever. I set it out about 60 yards. It's right before dark. Mike got set up around the corner about 200 yards from me, I'm guessing. He's in a tree stand, and I'm up in a stand. And I finally decide, okay, now's the time. I hit one howl on that. It's got the coyote. You got all the different things.
Yeah.
I got predator call, coyote serenade, or coyotes. I call them coyotes. But I hit one howl, and it freaked me out, Tom. All of a sudden, I hear this unbelievably loud howl come back from the direction where Mike is. And at first, I thought, that's got to be a big farm dog or something. And right after that, the whole pack opened up. Almost raise the hair on the back.
Really? Of
and they're going nuts. So I'm waiting to hear a kaboom from Mike because he's got the buckshot, right? The shotgun.
Yeah.
And he said he had the shotgun up and ready, that they had to be within 100 yards of him. But he's in this thick marsh. So then I had their attention. So I hit the old dying rabbit call.
Okay.
And he saw three of them come flying by him, hell-bent, going in my direction. Now, they were about 70 yards away, and they crossed the trail. Had they stood with the buckshot, you might be able to take a pop at one's head and still have enough to get one. But they were coming my way. But guess what? They never came out to me. I was kind of on the edge of the marsh watching the clearing.
Okay.
And my wind was blowing directly back to them.
Oh, no.
Then about an hour later, before I was going to quit, hour before after dark, I thought, well, I can't get any response. I hit the coyote serenade where it sounds like a pack. And the whole pack opened up again. This time they'd moved maybe a quarter mile across the marsh. You could hear them.
Yeah.
So we're going back after those things.
They're
there.
They're there,
by God.
They're
and
there.
I don't think we've given them too much information yet.
All right. Well, maybe
it was cool, man.
Maybe we'll hear
just
a report
having them respond,
next week.
I was like, what's that? Oh, my God. There's coyotes. They're answering back.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Something to do.
Well, maybe next weekend you'll be giving us a report and you'll be wearing a coyote skin.
I'm just going to, Tom, if I shoot one, I'm throwing it in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
It's going to be frozen stiff. I'll drive to school. I'll tell the kids, hey, come on out in the school parking lot. I got a dead coyote in there. See what kind of trouble I can get in with the animal activists for that one.
Exactly. Hey, folks, we got to go to a quick commercial break. We are on Sports Radio 1250 AM or 105.7 FM The Fan. This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Welcome back to this cold, snowy, icy day. Hopefully you're heading out to do some ice fishing or going to the Muskie Expo to dream about summertime fishing, Tom.
Oh, speaking of dreaming, Danny, do you ever have dreams of monster fish, like monster muskies or pike or whatever? You ever dream about that? Like a world record muskie and all that? No?
Never have dreams.
I have some fishing dreams every now and then. Some of them go south. What do you got on the line there, Nick?
Got our buddy Keith.
Hey, good morning, Keith. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're good, buddy.
We're good. What's on your mind?
I heard you talking about ice safety for the ice fish in terms of thickness of the ice.
Yeah.
Is there a device that can tell you the thickness of the ice? So rather than trying to guess or hope you know what you're talking about or thinking or you're doing?
Yeah. It's either an ice drill or a spud bar. You got to pop a hole. Yep, you got to pop a hole to see how thick it is.
You were kind of wondering whether there's some kind of a electronical device that would measure the thickness of the ice just by shooting at it.
Yeah, that was. Well, I was hoping for that.
Keith.
I had never heard of one, but.
Keith, if you're an engineer, you can, if you make one of those, you could make a lot of money.
Hey, you can join our ice safety group when we go around, me and Tom Starter, and we'll sell those.
Just think, if you made something like that, you could sell, every ice angler would own one.
Or ice safety devices, send your buddy out in front of you. If
you know
he goes
what?
Through, it's not safe.
I'm going to have to talk to a few engineer friends of
whatever,
mine.
You're not going to talk to
anybody. We're
going to
talk to somebody. Yeah. We're going to see if we what
Take
we can
off,
do.
Take off, you hoser. You don't know.
Now you need to get... Now you need to give me credit for that, so I get
right away you want 5%, I suppose.
Oh, no, we got to give them a 10% finder's fee. You got it, Keith.
Anyways.
You got
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Be safe, man.
What was that question the guy called? He called but couldn't hold on about a carburetors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Where do you find a carburetor for an ice drill?
I'm assuming that he's got a Jiffy. Now, they say never assume...
Right.
I do know that if he has a Jiffy, this is a true story from our old friend Dave Doms. He was the one who actually got that launch that never got built at the North Lake, Tom. He was the one that acquired
that. Where the hell is that launch
he
on North Lake?
He now works for the Utah Fish and Game Department. I think it's Utah. I'm going to go hunt out there with him soon, someday,
anyway,
or fish.
Okay.
So anyway, Dave actually had a problem with his Jiffy, and he was driving through, is it Sheboygan, where Jiffy is?
Yeah, up in that area, I think
and
so.
And he stopped in. And he had some problem with it. And they took it in. The guy took it apart, fixed it up, did some stuff, spent like an hour, and handed it back, and no charge.
Wow.
Got it running. Great. Talk about great service. Now, I can't guarantee that's going to happen again, but I would definitely say if you contact Jiffy directly, they should be able to help you with the carburetor problem.
Or whatever ice drill you have, if you contact the company, you can just Google it, whether it be an Eskimo or whatever kind. You know, you can contact the company and say, hey, I need a carburetor, and I'm sure they'll have one laying around for you. They'll be happy to sell
now,
you.
Now, here's the thing, too. Now, Jiffy does have a what they sell, they call it a tune-up kit.
Right.
It's $20. It's a spark plug. And their special new oil, and it replaces the previous recommendation when I got my auger, which is the Tecumseh motor, 3-horse, I believe, 3.5, with the 10-inch. It was a champion spark plug, but now they've gone to a hotter burning plug, plus with this new oil, mix that up, and they call it the tune-up kit, and I'll tell you what. That it runs like a top.
Yeah.
And even when my auger was brand new, Tom, I'd be drilling through 36 inches of ice on Lake of the Woods. And the one problem that was always annoying is the bogging down. It would start, maybe the blade would be catching a little bit, and all of a sudden you'd have the motor bogging down. You'd have to pull back and this and that.
Yeah.
Or it would maybe start to die when I'm trying to carry this auger from one hole to the other and I don't want to try and restart it. Since I've gotten that tune-up kit, it fires up running, and it keeps running. It doesn't bog down. So if you're having some problems where you think you need a new carburetor, if it's some, maybe try, and again, you'd have to have a Jiffy and probably Tecumseh motor, whatever. Check into that tune-up kit. You can typically go to, I found mine at Fleet Farm in Germantown.
Yeah,
they had both the oil and the, for about $20, spark plug together. But you could probably even, I think Dick Smith's even has them.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing about ice augers, whether it be a hand drill or a power auger, and one of the things that some ice fishermen get confused at, and it's usually new ice fishermen, guys have been doing it a while, kind of know this already, but if you ever have to, a lot of guys try to sharpen their own blades, right? And you can send the blades back to the company and they'll sharpen them for a fee, you know, and send them back to you. But the thing is with ice auger blades, you never sharpen both sides. It's only one side that gets sharpened. If you sharpen both sides, that's shot. It doesn't work.
I've heard that. Now, I've got the chipper blades, which came out. And I was thinking of trying to sharpen them myself, but would I be
better
off?
But if you look at it, One side is flat, and the other side has the angle that gets sharpened. You never touch that flat side.
That's what my brother told me, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So you got to go with the angled side.
Right.
And would you, what would you use to sharpen that? Would you use like a stone or,
you know,
or
what?
File?
I think I could do that for you because now on my knives, I use a Lansky sharpening outfit.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if you couldn't clamp that blade into the Lansky thing and sharpen it. I'm not sure. But yeah, I guess you'd use a stone, but just on one side. Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is getting the correct angle.
Right.
And that's why when you're using a stone, it's always hard to keep that correct angle.
You know what? I think last year I didn't really sharpen. I just took some steel wool and scrubbed all the, got the rust off and stuff. I just kind of shined it up. It still drills pretty quick.
If it's still doing good, then you don't have to. But otherwise, maybe during the off season,
I'll take the blade off and bring it to you. Or take the auger off. I mean,
or the best way.
Disconnect
the best way to do it though is to. It's a Jiffy, right?
Yeah.
Send it to Jiffy, and for a small fee, they'll sharpen it for you and send it back. Do that during the summertime.
Or I could just, buy new blades for 40
bucks.
Yeah,
you could do that too. But
yeah.
But it's not expensive to have them sharpened. Matter of fact, I bet you if you drove up there, Danny, a man of your stature, wisdom, and knowledge, and good looks, and being a radio show star, if you drove up there and said, hey.
I'm a friend of Tom Neubauer's.
There you go. Use that. They'll charge you twice as much. I bet you if you drove up there and said, hey, what do I do about getting this blade sharpened? They just might sharpen it there for you while you're there. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
You never know. Okay, so we are going to talk in this next segment coming up about big pike. Now, are these big pike, Dan, around the world? Is that what you were going to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay, big pike around the world. What's going on with big pike? Where do you find big pike? And I tell you what, I got a question that I'll ask people about pike, but I'm not going to give it ahead of time because I don't want anybody looking it up. And I'll give away another 1 year free subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine if you get the right answer. But we'll do all that in the next segment of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
I take back everything I've ever said about you being cheap.
We do have a good time on this show, Danny.
No, we don't. I'm just faking it here.
Nick
welcome
Bodie.
Back. Good, Nick. Good job, buddy. That was good.
He's on top of his game.
Man, you've only been with us a month or so, and we've already got you goofy as we are. So welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Skipper Buds is the place you want to go buy that new deluxe Alumacraft boat.
Or
you can be like me, Dan Bush.
Or a yacht if you want.
I don't have no yacht, Tom.
No, but I'm just saying you could get
buy some Powerball tickets.
You could.
If I went, I'll buy you a yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad used to call his duck boat the yacht, so he'd say, we're going to go take the yacht out to the marsh. We'll be back.
Did you hear about the guy, before we get into Northern Pike, hit me. The guy who was playing, they were playing $4 a card bingo at Pottawatomie.
I heard he won $1 million.
$1 million. And what happened was, since he got the 5 stars or got whatever it was he got, then the next day he came back and had to spin this big wheel. The smallest prize he'd get was $60,000. And it ranged in like $20,000 increments all over the board, right? And it was a huge, probably like about a 4-foot diameter wheel, right? This big wheel. And you know, they got the little flipper on the top.
Yep.
So he flips it. And you can look at it on YouTube. It's going around, and it's getting slower, and you don't think it's going to stop on that million, and it just clicks over onto the $1 million. Oh, my God. Playing bingo, Danny. $1 million playing bingo.
I win a jig pole in a fishery. At water point.
Okay, big pike.
Big pike. So, anyway, Tom, you know, people think of pike in muskies, and of course in the U.S. the muskie is king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Louis Spray's 69 pounder may have been disavowed, but I pretty much don't think there's ever been any evidence that I've seen to discredit Cal Johnson's 67-pound or the one caught in Canada in 85 by the walleye guy that was 65 pounds. I think O'Brien was that guy's name.
Yeah, Mike O'Brien.
Cal Johnson got the 67. So, you know, and then the one fish that probably never got the record like it should have, that Malo fish.
Malo, the 70 pounds.
Yeah, and if everybody looks at that, that looks like a distorted. You know how giant bass, Tom, look kind of like.
They look fake almost.
They look so distorted because they grow so big fat bellies like those giant Florida giant bass.
Yep.
Well, that looked like a giant bass basically that, you know, it was only 55 inches, I think, only, but weighed, you know, 70. So, yeah, they get big. Well, even our North American pike, if you go up to Alaska, Canada, sure, there are some 50-inch pike caught, but a 30-inch pike, a 30-pound pike is still a heck of a
big pike.
Even a Saskatchewan province record fish, I believe, is 38 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I fished Lake Tobin with a guy years ago who catches 30-pounders through the ice all the time, but yet that lake record is still province 38 pounds. So, you know, anything in North America that might exist over 40 pounds would be a pretty rare if it does exist. In fact, this is from In Fisherman. It basically says right here, this is what this Pizer said. He says, he's talking about the record pike in North America. He says, it's like, oh, he's talking about a 50-pound pike. He says, it's like the Michael Jordan of pike. A 46-pounder is so far out of the ordinary that you want to question its validity. Yet when you look at the same species growing to 50 or even 60-plus pounds in various places all over Europe, you know it's possible for that species to do it. So here's the biggest one that they have on record in Fisherman, 1998, 68.3 pounds.
From where?
Germany.
Oh, okay.
The Baltic Sea.
Oh, out in the Baltic Sea.
I believe the Baltic Sea, isn't that kind of a brackish water? I think some of these giant pike in Europe come from some of these brackish. And brackish is kind of like a mix, isn't it, between like salt water
and freshwater. But I mean, the Baltic Sea is connected to the Atlantic Ocean.
Now,
you know.
Caught, guess how it was caught? It was netted.
Now, I was just going to say a trawler's netted. Net.
31 kgs, which is 68.3 pounds. Pike, it was netted by commercial fisherman Wolfgang Hoffman. I love that name, Wolfgang.
Yeah, If I ever had a kid,
I'd name him Wolfgang.
There was a kid in our neighborhood where I grew up.
Wolfgang.
He lived at the other end of the block. His first name was Wolfgang, and his nickname was Wolfie.
I was just going to say, was his nickname Wolfie?
Yep, Wolfie.
Yeah.
Wolfie.
Wolfgang. Yeah. Take a look at the size of this picture. You know, all our listeners can.
Wow.
Tell me that doesn't look like it's close to a 70-pound pike.
Wow.
And the guy's not holding
a huge belly.
And he's not pulling an Art Lawton holding it out.
It's right up by his body.
He's a commercial fisherman. He's just holding the doggone thing.
And a tail's dragging on the ground.
Listen, a fish that heavy, you can't hold it arm's length.
No, you're not going to hold it out.
Yeah, you're not going to hold that out. So, yeah, kind of funny. Guy's got a smoke in his mouth holding the fish.
There you go. You know what he was doing when he's not fishing?
Having a smoke.
Yeah, he's selling smokes in the parking lot.
next biggest one was caught by, here's another good name, Arnold. Arnold Wilhelm, another German guy. 67.3, 1983, Germany out of a gravel pit in Dänstadt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I got to go, Dänstadt.
Well, yeah, Germany, Switzerland. They've got big
ones. Here's another one. This was an unknown captor, meaning that means the guy who got it, we don't know who he was. 63.8 pounds found dead. 1990, Austria.
Mm-hmm.
In Lengsee. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch more over 60 pounds. So it is just amazing the size that the pike get there in Europe. Now, many people saw the urban legend picture. Do you remember the one where that guy was holding that?
On his lap.
On his lap.
Yeah.
And then I was driving through Minnesota, and I stopped at one of those gas stations, and it said It was on their board there. It said caught in Winnebagoche.
Yeah, right.
Or Mille Lacs, one of them.
Yeah.
And then I saw that posted that it was caught in Lake Winnebago on Facebook or wherever, Urban Legend. And the truth of that fish back Esox Angler magazine, which was by far the greatest musky pike magazine in the world, which no longer exists. They had the article, and that fish was, I believe, 44 pounds, and it was caught in Holland trolling a Rapala super shad rat.
Right. Here's my question for the audience.
Okay.
No, I take it back. I'm going to ask the caller. 799-1250. Call right now. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you get the answer right, you get a one-year subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine. And I'll even give you a leeway in here. I'll make it a little easier for you, all right? One-year subscription on the line, free, Badger Sportsman Magazine, 799-1250. Got it? 799-1250. All
okay,
right.
Nick's back there answering the phone right now.
You're getting it, Nick?
All right. Our esteemed producer back there.
Yeah, we got a
multitasking back there.
We got several callers. Phone lines are lighting up.
Lines are lighting up like Christmas trees.
And Nick, you don't have to get their whole address yet. Just put them on the line. Yeah.
Well, they're probably going to win, Tom.
Well, we'll see.
Everybody wins when they call.
I don't know.
We're like the third grade soccer of, radio land, call in, win stuff.
We'll put this guy on the line. Okay. Hey, good morning. Who's this?
Gary.
Hey, Darren. Do you
Gary.
Wanna... Oh, what? Gary?
Gary.
Oh, okay, Gary. Sorry about that. Okay, here's your question. We're talking about big northern pike, right?
Right.
And you've caught a few pike, I assume, over the years?
Yep.
Okay. Wisconsin state record northern pike. How big?
38 pounds.
What?
38 pounds.
Oh, you're sharp, man.
Puck away. You know what?
Yep.
I don't.
That was going to be my second question.
Guess what, though? I do not believe that.
No, he doesn't.
I don't believe that.
Of course you don't believe it.
Nah.
But you know what?
No
Gary,
way.
You can believe it. Stay on hold. Nick's going to get your address and everything, and I'm going to send you that one-year subscription, all right?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for listening. Bye now. Boy, I guess we couldn't stump him at all, and we people who are on hold are trying to call. Well, you might as well hang up if you want. Because
Puckaway has a lot of pike. It's a shallow, weedy, big body of water.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How does a 38-pounder come out of that lake?
And there was another alleged 30-pounder that came out of Pike Lake years ago. I remember seeing the article in the paper and a picture of the fish. In fact, one of my students that I had about 10 years ago said his uncle caught that fish. But I saw a picture of that. There used to be a little launch at the corner on Pike Lake there, a little gravel road. Maybe you know where it's at.
There's a big launch there now.
There was a little corner, a little launch, a little white building, and I went inside. And I think it might have been a bait shop, and it had a picture from the newspaper. I do not believe that was a 30. I mean, it was 20-pound pike. It looked like, 30-pound. You know how things get exaggerated
as
sizes and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. We catch some really nice pike on Pike Lake. I mean, some nice ones. But, in my estimation, a really nice pike in our area, that's like in that, let's say, 32 to 38-inch range. Those are nice pike. Those are not your average little 24-inch hammer handles,
Right.
Those are decent pike. Those are nice. They got some weight to them, So.
And I've caught pike on Pewaukee up to about, probably 37 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard of some guys that actually got 40-inchers.
Yep.
So it's possible.
Our good friend Paul Mahalik. Got one that was 40 or 41 inches, not last year, year before last.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So possible, but again, very rare.
Yeah. But in our area, in this state, I should say, in the Midwest, you get a 40-inch pike. That's big. A 40-inch pike. That's a big pike around here, So that's something to be proud of. Hey, we got to go to a break, Danny. You got any questions or comments, folks, about what we're talking about? You want to get in on the discussion? 799-1250 is the phone number. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. And on the line, we have the man, the myth, the legend. We have Bill from Sportsman's Den with a fishing report. He's going to tell him. Nope. Hold on. I'm getting waved off here. What's going on, Nick? So traffic is light and variable on the Edens.
Now we got him, right? Are you there, Bill?
I'm here, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good. What's up?
Not the barometer.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God. I have not seen it this low for this long, and I don't know how long. But it did move a little bit up today, this morning. Good news.
Okay.
I've seen some really big pike come out of the Denver reservoirs where the smelt and, it's very high protein feed that gets chopped up. And the trout and northerns are just huge in there. But they haven't broke that big one like we get in Europe. I don't know what it is with the genetics or whatever it is. But, man, hello.
Yeah,
hello.
We're here. We're listening.
Okay,
we're listening.
So that's what I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
Tune-up kits, unbelievably great price here. And I wanted to say, for you guys that don't want to buy power augers for 3 feet ice, come on down here and rent them.
Hey, there you go. You can rent one by you.
Yep. Locators, augers, shanties. You only go once, twice a year. Come on down here. We'll take care of you.
Wow.
Well, that's good to know.
Think about that, renting.
Yeah.
I think we're the only one that doesn't. It works well. And we give top-of-the-line stuff, not garbage.
No, that's...
What's the phone number that they can call?
414-464-2287.
All right. Well, maybe somebody was just asking me about your place, and he didn't know where it was, and I told him, and I can't remember what he was looking for.
Some of the addresses that they think we're on 58 and Vallette, it's between Silver Spring and Hampton on 54th Street.
And Villard.
And Villard. Yeah. We're between Silver Spring and Hampton like a piece of cheese, the next intersection in there.
Right.
But, guys, I'm coming on board with you. So you guys can say my name a few more times this spring.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Hey, you're talking to Ron?
You've been talking to Ron, huh?
Well, yeah, I did. We're going to hold off until, like ice up, the money freezes up.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, cool. We'll wait until spring then.
Yeah. And, you're the greatest two-hour fishing show on the planet, so I might as well.
Oh, geez, that's nice of you to say that. Hey, you hear any fishing down by the big pond, Lake Michigan there? What's going on?
They're doing really well. There's been, even with the low barometer, they're getting a lot of trout. You need the quick strike rigs. They're really finicky. They pick it up and they drop it so quick. So most of them are using those auto fishermen.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to spend $80, guys. There's HT put one out there for around $20-$24. They do they're not quite as good, but for the guys that can't afford $80, come on down. We'll hook you up.
So that's those automatic ones they're using. They call it the automatic fisherman. Is that what they call it?
That's
right.
It, yeah.
They're about, with the rod, they're about $80, but you can use your own gear and go with HT makes a real fine product. Not quite as great, but it works, and you don't have to spend that much
money. So the ones you're talking about have a rod with it as well, so when it trips...
No. You use your own rod.
Yeah, use your own.
But it's a trip setup where they touch it and it sets the hook.
How about... Right. I've got some old ones I got from Lowy that were made, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and they've got they're tip-ups that are supposedly automatically set it, and it's like a big spring on the thing that you compress on down, and then there's a couple different settings. And
that would work.
Sure. Yeah.
That would work. They're not quite as fun as fighting a fish with a rod and reel, but that'll work too.
Yeah.
Anything that'll snap that jaw before they drop it is what you want.
Gotcha.
Okay, Bill. Well, thanks for calling.
All right.
Gentlemen,
thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Talk to you again.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
Okay. Bye now. And who else you got there, Nick?
We got Rich calling.
Oh, our buddy Rich. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Hey, I wanted to make a comment about Puckaway. We used to fish that heavily in the 70s, ice fishing. And
yeah.
I believe that 38-pound or whatever it is would be true.
Yeah.
Really?
Years ago, I would actually say that if you fished it a weekend and you had an active fish bite, your average northern that you were getting was about 10 pounds.
Oh, really? Those are nice fish.
I've seen my cousin, we used to use smelt and Swedish hooks at the time.
Yeah.
And my cousin had one on that I know damn well was over 20 pounds.
Yeah.
That thing rolled under the ice a couple of times. You had good looks at it. And it's a very shallow lake. They're
right.
Saying that at one point the average was only 3 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when you used to go to these fish tournaments, that had these fisheries. If you caught an 8-pound walleye, you didn't win that contest.
Really?
15-pound northern, you didn't win that contest. And
wow,
it was unbelievable how that fishery was in that lake.
Well, let me ask you this, because the reason I kind of hesitate, truly giant pike need a cold water source. Now, either a deep oligotrophic lake or spring or something like that. Are there any sources where, because a shallow lake's going to get so warm in summer, those giant pike get summer stressed. So
I don't know if it's because you mentioned earlier, one of your callers talked about the river systems opening.
Right.
These lakes that are all part of that, Puckaway's part of the Fox River. I think Buffalo Lake's a part of that.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So these are open all year long too, and it could be because of the river system. I haven't a clue.
That is a possibility, because a lot of times river systems have like either springs coming in or trout streams that run in that offer cold water refuges. So if those giant pike have somewhere where they can go in the dog days of summer to escape that, then possibly you could have some giant pike living in that ecosystem.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Rich.
Yep.
Hey, good program as always.
All right,
thank you. Take care, man.
Yeah, bye now.
Right.
I'll tell you one lake that if I was just going to look for a big pike, let's say a 20-pound plus,
yep,
I'd go to Big Cedar.
Okay. I mentioned Steve Milliot fishing with Mike Barucki years ago, and Mike was a great guy. He passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, and he used to religiously troll Big Cedar for pike with wire line.
Okay.
And that's all. He was on that all the time for big pike. So
yeah.
Big Cedar.
Nagawicca could have them too. That's a deep lake as well.
Yep. Lake Geneva has some giant fish. I saw a mounted 21-pounder that came out of there. Of course, the Bay of Green Bay.
Yeah, definitely.
Lake Mendota has 40-plus-inch pike come out of there.
That's another good one.
Trying to think, what are some of the other... the backwaters of the Mississippi River.
Yep.
Those sloughs and the Wisconsin River system, and especially late ice. I've heard rumors of guys that went down, I think, is Prairie du Chien down south? Is that by the Wisconsin River
southwest
down?
Of us, yeah.
Southwest.
Yeah,
I heard rumors
Wisconsin
of
River.
Some guy that went there years ago and saw guys with tip-ups on some backwater and big pike flopping everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some spots to be had. That Sturgeon Bay area, again, there's some monster. I think Dennis Radloff got, a 48-incher on a bulldog there off Pottawatomie casting years ago on that weed edge.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it was 48 inches that he got.
It was big. I remember that.
So there's some monster pike to be had.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing about northern pike that's really kind of neat, they sometimes really save a fisherman's day.
Right.
You know, it's like you might be fishing for another species of fish or whatever, but those, I'm not talking a big pike, but your average smaller pike, they'll smack just about anything, and they fight like heck, and, you know, they're fun to catch, and they surprise you, you know. So sometimes, you know, just getting some action is coming from those northern pike.
I'll tell you what, one of my bucket trips here when I retire is I'm going to go back to Nungesser Lake and chase 30-pound pike, 50-inch pike up there.
There you go.
That's gonna happen again. So I like fishing big pike pretty much as much as big muskie. So
I think I'm gonna go chase Bloody Mary or Margarita, one of the two. I don't know.
Sounds good. That's all I got, buddy.
Yeah, me too, Danny. I had a great time this morning.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks to the men in blue out there, first responders, firefighters, service people. God bless you. We need you. We love you. Cutting Edge Outdoors is behind you 110%. Talk to you all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.